Welcome to part two of our interview with Alex Ryan of Duckhorn Wines.
I want to go back actually to what David Marchese is doing and some of the changes you've done at Paradox. Mm-hmm. Now, when I first learned about Paradox, it was before the winery was built. The tasting room was built. That is the winery, too.
Both were built at the same time. We were making Paradox and really creating it. Mm-hmm. In the barrel rooms of Duckhorn and selling it out of here until it really warranted its own specifically designed home.
I was a big fan of it and still am. And that blend of cab mm-hmm. and Zin was different. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there are too many people even doing that at that time. But now with David, you've gone different directions, even gone into, dare I say it, the white territory.
Yeah, and I was a naysayer in that whole project. The winemakers, and I need a white wine to complement what we're doing. It's hard to go on a winemaker dinner with just one wine. That may or may not be true, but they said, look, I want to offer more. I want to do more. And that, when you get an employee asking you to do more, what are you going to say, no? So we talked about it. I said, well, we make a Sauvignon Blanc Semillon mix at Duckhorn. You know, can't go that route. We're in Napa Valley, and it's a relatively warm region, warm climate, so you can't do Riesling. So what are you going to do? Let me work on it. For years we worked on it, trying to come up with a creative white blend to sit alongside or support the creative red blend centered around Zinfandel that we did on the red side. And for years we worked on it. And he's recently came up with this Viognier Chardonnay blend. And I would have bet, again, I just wasn't sold. And it's awesome. It's just taking the non-typical, taking the unexpected, putting them together, giving a little touch of passion. And voila, the wine is wonderful. It is so, I'm so excited and proud of them. And I'll say it a million times. I would have lost the bet a million times over. So I bet them, I don't know, it's about $1 million. And I'm still working on coming up with a way to pay them.
Well, I'll be right there next to them when you're ready to do that. Yeah. But, you know, when I first, it was at Auction Napa Valley a couple of years ago when I met David, and we talked about this idea, and you could see him light up with this idea for potential, what he wanted to do. That says a lot about a company, that you're empowering somebody to take this risk of a brand that's very established within wine drinkers that does only one thing, this really great blend.
If I knew every single thing to do, I'd be a stock trader, not a winemaker.
Yeah, right.
And I don't. And we try to hire really smart people willing to take risks, people willing to do different things, push the envelope. And when you get a winemaker passionate about something, there's an energy there that transfers into the staff. It's hard to explain. It's not just about the wine. It's about the energy that the person at the company that everyone wants to listen to, and those are the winemakers. It's that energy and that passion that can transcend into your staff and get everyone excited. It's a little touchy-feely, but I do believe it's real. And to empower a winemaker to take a risk or follow some passion, we called a Chardonnay Viognier blend, and it turned out to be brilliance.
Well, passion is an emotion, and that's where the connection comes from. Now, you've also got another direction, too, to the best of my knowledge, with Goldeneye, where mm-hmm. you guys were heading into, when I was there, which was 2011, into sparkling wine.
Well, we've been around the block a few times. That's a tough business. I'll share with you this. We have. And sparkling wine, not only is fun and exciting when it's the best, and the competition is fierce. Schramsberg's a good example. There's many other examples. Roeder, the French Connection Roeder up in the Anderson Valley, Schramsberg, North Coast, California, and others are frighteningly superior quality. So you're going into a formidable area. But Anderson Valley does have a place in California sparkling wine, and made famous by the House of Roeder.
Right.
So again, similar to the David Marchese at Paradox and the white blend story, at the time Zach was still there. He's now passed it on to Michael Fay. Zach said, you know, let's make some. It's fun. We have access to superior sparkling fruit from good sparkling vineyards and ranches. It'll, you know, give us something else to do, because all they make up there is Pinot. So it's, while that's fun and exciting, it's still one wine. It just, you know, it prevents employee malaise. It gives people to get excited about something else. Again, sharing the passion. And I said, look, it's got to be just as much work to make a lousy sparkling wine as a great one. So do me a favor and choose the latter. And let's go for the throat. If we're going to do anything, let's go for the throat, make a handful of cases. It's relatively small. Probably end up being a direct consumer only item for us. And it's been fun. It's done just the same things that David did for his team. It injected some excitement within the winemaking group up there. They're all very proud. They're taking personal pride in it. I've tasted it. I can tell you it hit the mark that I was hoping for. If you're going to play in the big house, you got to be playing with the big boys. You got to taste. You got the right style, the right quality, the right bubbles, right this, right that. So it's exciting.
Is it actually in the bottle now? Is it available?
It is not. I think it's going to be available the end of the fall of 2013, probably released after September of this year. Again, your first release is critical. That's somewhat theoretical and targeted. When the wine's ready, it'll be released. I'd like it to be the end of this fall, maybe instead of the holiday season, but I'm gonna defer completely to the winemakers on that.
Sure. It's one I'm really curious about because I got a chance to work with
Bo. Be part of it.
Right. Very, very briefly, but working with Bo up there.
He's another piece of work, isn't he?
He's amazing.
Yeah.
You're so lucky.
Bo's recently transferred from Anderson Valley, Goldeneye, and he is now the assistant winemaker under the Decoy brand in Sonoma County.
I'd actually talked to Neil fairly recently.
He's doing great. He bleeds passion like all good winemakers should.
Well, and you know, that's not an easy challenge going up to a place like the Anderson Valley to live, if you especially come from a metropolitan area, which I believe he's from Colorado, if I'm not mistaken.
You know,
that's a different experience.
The middle of Mojave Desert would be metropolitan compared to Anderson Valley.
It's pretty quiet up there.
It's pretty quiet. Did you stay up there?
I stayed at the apple dryer. Yes,
oh, tough.
Which was, yeah. In fact, you recently ran a video on YouTube, which was a great idea because I think the whole idea of being able, just like doing Life Between the Vines, right, letting people see a little bit of what's going on behind the curtain makes a big difference, not just for the idea of getting an idea of what price is all about, but the idea of seeing the work and the human beings.
Right. We invite you all here, but if we can't, the video is the next best thing.
Right. It's a great medium to be able to promote it, though.
It sure has changed, though. In the old days, you know, you would come here to meet us here, and that's about it. Or we'd go to your city to do a dinner or something, and you would be one of 50. Now you could be one of a million.
Yeah. You don't see yourself going much further at this point then with the sparkling wine?
Oh, never say never. No. I made that point, though. It's a tough business. You know, Champagne, the Champagne region of France, produces the great stuff and lots of it, and they're competitive. And so it's not an easy field to break into. And locally, I think we have four or five significant players that have all kind of owned the domestic market. So I think being smart about what we do and not be trying to be jack of all trades, we're going to keep it small and let the consumer tell us if they like it. And if they want more, we'll make more. And if they don't, we'll be perfectly happy at our company functions and company parties to enjoy what we've made for ourselves.
Enjoy your own spoils. Do you feel that the sparkling market's growing? I mean, I don't know if there's any evidence to back that up right now.
I really don't know. My wife and I, we don't drink a lot of sparkling, but the appreciation we have, and we're everything the sparkling market doesn't want. We're still special occasion sparkling drinkers, but our admiration of the product at those times is off the charts. But again, we're probably not a good indicator. I think the sparkling wine market would like you to enjoy it every day. Mm. And I'm forced to drink Duckhorn Vineyards wines every day at home with my wife. So, you know, I'll suffer through that.
Yeah, right.
I don't know if it's changing. I'm not close enough to know. I hope so, because it is special. I would love for that market to grow. I just don't know if it is. I'm not very heavily invested in it, so I'm not following it.
Is there anything you'd like to bring up? I'll give you an opportunity. Anything you would like to talk about?
Oh, I think if I could bring anything up, you know, I travel around the world a lot, representing the brand, talking to customers and meeting people. I can tell you that it's a heartwarming experience to go around, as we met. We were a table apart in a local restaurant, sitting there, not knowing one another from anyone. And my kids said to me, "Dad, that guy over there," and they pointed, I'm trying to get them not to point at people, "that guy over there," full picture, now I got four fingers pointing at this poor guy, "is talking about Duckhorn." And I'm thinking, is this really happening? So I listened a little. Turns out you were having a discussion with somebody on wineries, and you were talking about Duckhorn, and then you drilled down to migration, drilled down to Goldeneye. It was fascinating. And you said it with admiration and passion and good feelings. So to see a bottle of Duckhorn wines, and they use that in the family sense, on a table in New York or Florida or Texas or wherever I happen to be, or even locally, it's like sharing your children with people, and it's been a blessed career for me. And every time I see that around the world, I tend to come back. I tell the employees here who aren't able to travel as much and say, look, people choose our wine versus somebody else's wine. They believe, they ultimately taste and believe in what we're doing. 90,000 of them come to our winery every year, and out there in the market, people are buying it off the shelf and enjoying it. There's no more humbling experience for a winemaker than to see it actually unscripted and no third-party attachments happen in the marketplace, on a table or taking home at a store or at a special occasion or a wedding or whatever it could be. It's been a gratifying career, and I can only thank my customers for it.
Well, that's something you make. That's
it's heart and soul.
It really is.
Yeah.
Is Dan involved at all in the company? Is he a consultant?
Dan and his ex-wife Margaret sit on our board, and they do some special events for us, and they come in round and help keep our employees grounded for some of the fundamentals in the culture they've set out 30 some odd years ago. And while they're both doing new ventures and other things, they're still well connected to the winery. I think hopefully proud of what we're doing, enjoying the wines. I think there's some founders distributions that they are able to taste from time to time. Mm-hmm. I think they're happily engaged with what we're doing here.
That's great, because it carries on the legacy of this company with that name, which is
it
so
does.
Important.
It does.
For our listeners, if they would like to find out a little bit more about you, as well as the various waterfowl names, the brands, including Duckhorn, how would they find out about you online?
About me, duckhorn.com. You go to Duckhorn, we got a pretty good website. There's not much you can't learn on there. And then if you drill down, there's a section about the management of the company. There's a section about the founders, Dan and Mark Duckhorn. There's a section about myself down in the, I think it's the trade area of the website. Enjoy the website, a lot of fun stuff there. You drill down in the trade section, that'll open up a whole other series of envelopes that tells some of the more behind the scenes stuff here at the company. Or just come knock on the door and ask for me.
That's the best way to do it. And all the other labels obviously have their own website connected up to
their
website.
They're all linked. They're so linked that it'll drive you nuts, but yes.
Alex, I can't thank you enough for spending the time and talking
about it. I got a chance to drink a glass of wine with you, so all's good.
Not bad.
All right.
Cheers.
Thanks, bud.
Thank you.
Okay, is that a practice run? You want to do a real take?
Learn more about the Duckhorn Waterfowl family by visiting duckhorn.com.
Thanks for listening, and tune in for our next program featuring St. Supery winemaker Michael Scholes. Cheers.
Life Between the Vines was produced at Fifth Floor Recording Company in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Produced and edited by Ray Pfister. Original music by Tim Turton. Our intern is Steve Lance. Web design by Jenny Holland. Our web geek is Tim Panicucci. Photos by Jeanette Herniak. Copyright 2012.